Hi, and a warm welcome to Radio Verulam. And today we've got an extra special show for you about a local initiative called HAWA. And I'm really pleased to introduce Zia Kiani and Rushna Mia to Radio Verulam today. Hi, Rushna and Zia. How are you both doing?
Hi, Lydia. I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, great. And it's great to have you both on the radio station today. So I'd like to ask you about HAWA. So just assume our listeners know nothing about this, about your wonderful organisation. Tell us, why was HAWA started and who is it for, Rushna?
My name is Rushna Mia. I'm the chair and co-founder of Hertfordshire Asian Women's Association. That's HAWA for short. I'm also a housing officer working for the local authority. I've been doing that for about 16 plus years. And I'm a qualified interpreter and just recently qualified as a transformational and well-being coach. I'm a mother of four and a carer as well.
You're a very, very busy woman, Rushna.
Yes. Yes. So HAWA... I'll just tell you a little bit about HAWA. HAWA is something that I do on a voluntary basis, and I've been chair for HAWA about 5 years now running. Previous to that, I've been the vice chair and secretary, so I've been with HAWA for quite some time. We co-founded it in 2008 when we came away from our sister organisation, UK Asian Women's Conference. And we came away because we wanted to make an impact, sort of do more work locally. HAWA's aim is to inform and advise and involve the women from the Black and Asian minority, ethnic minorities, in issues that affect them, from, you know, having a voice within the community, encouraging them to sort of integrate into the mainstream society, so encouraging social integration. We're an independent voluntary organization, and we sort of work to advocate for the ladies, the BAME ladies, and we build their confidence. We primarily work in the St Albans district, but we also work within sort of the other parts of Hertfordshire.
And I've heard about HAWA for years now, and I think the work you undertake is so valuable and so worthwhile. Can you give our listeners a little bit of a taste of the kind of activities you do, Rushna?
Yes, so we work, obviously we provide services for the ladies which benefit them. So one of our services that we've been providing for over 10 years now is the Tiffin Club, which is run every Thursday term time, 11 to 2. And that's a club where the ladies, primarily over 50, come once a week, get together. They have a 1 hour literacy class, 1 hour Pilates, and they'd have some healthy snacks. We also get speakers coming in from the statutory and non-statutory organizations to talk about the services that they provide, so that the ladies are informed about the services that they can access. So that's been running over 10 years now and been very successful, and the ladies thoroughly enjoy attending the Tiffin Club. Now, during the COVID pandemic, unfortunately, we have had to close the Tiffin Club, and we've taken the Tiffin Club onto the social, the virtual medium. The other services we provide is we provide an advice and guidance service. We've got a community garden in Hicksbury Lane, which was donated to us from the Community Development Agency. So where we have a plot of land where the ladies can go and grow herbs, flowers, vegetables, you know, socialize, spend a bit of time outside, which is good for their health and well-being. We also have some other Pilates classes, chair yoga. We've just recently started a partnership with the food bank, and Zia will tell you about that a bit later on. And we've also been taking part in the Oxfam Hearts Hike annual walk. So, a lot going on.
A lot of positive and fun activities. It sounds really great, great work. And how have you adapted? Give us a little bit more detail about how you've moved online since the pandemic started.
Yes, so since the pandemic started, obviously because some of our ladies fall within the vulnerable category, we had to close the Tiffin Club quite early on. And, you know, we kept in touch with the ladies. I personally kept in touch with them as well to find out how they, you know, getting on. And a lot of them mentioned how lonely they were feeling, the isolation, the loneliness, and how they were missing the Tiffin Club. So what I suggested was that we start the online classes. Now, when I initially spoke to the ladies about that, they were like, oh, no, we can't, you know, we can't do this. We don't know how, we're not very technical. We don't know how to use Zoom, etc. So by holding their hand and, you know, speaking to their family members to get them onto the Zoom, we also had some funding to provide 10 tablets for the ladies who don't have the technology. So we've distributed 10 tablets. Now, we set up the Zoom and Skype for the exercise classes. And we've got a volunteer tutor, Claire Pinney, who has been teaching the ladies online. I mean, initially there was a bit of resistance, but by helping them through this process, we've got 12 ladies now attending the literacy classes online and thoroughly enjoying it. We've split the classes into two. So there's a beginner class and an intermediate class. And absolutely, you know, it's going fantastic. I also set up a yoga class and a chair yoga and a body conditioning class. So there's three exercise classes happening on a Monday and a Thursday. So the ladies participate in those as well.
It sounds like a wonderful initiative and it's a great opportunity. We'll come to Zia Kiani in just a few minutes, but I'd like to speak to one of the people who benefits from your services a little bit indirectly, but I'd like to welcome Anita Salhan. Hi, Anita.
Hi, Lydia. Hi.
Tell us a little bit about your situation.
So my mother-in-law attended the Tiffin Club last year. So it was a way of her kind of going out and socialising. We don't have much friends and family in the St Albans area. So it was nice for her to meet other individuals, other women who are in similar situations to her on a social perspective. So somebody that's kind of her age group that she can converse with and learn new things. So with Tiffin Club in attendance, there was lots of activities that she used to do. Since COVID, it all kind of closed and she was missing the social contact with others. She was listed as Rushna said, you know, a lot of the ladies are vulnerable and had to shield like my mother-in-law. So she did feel quite lonely in terms of, you know, she didn't have that weekly outing to meet her friends and family. So when the literacy online started, it was amazing to see the change in her in terms of being able to kind of reach out, learn, meet her other friends, have that social contact again with, you know, some of the ladies that she got to know quite well through the years that she'd been attending the Tiffin Club. She looks forward to it every day. It's been a kind of a lifeline for her, purely because with COVID, everybody being stuck indoors, not being able to go out and socialise, she still has that interaction with others. She looks forward to the yoga. She absolutely loves doing the yoga every Thursday. She's ready half an hour before, you know, ready to do the yoga. And that's kind of her fitness as well. So to have two sessions in a week really does split her week up and offer kind of ladies in similar situations in the community kind of that additional kind of benefit, which has been amazing.
And how did she adapt to the service moving online? I mean, I think we all struggle to a greater or lesser extent. How did she deal with this, Anita?
Well, my mother-in-law is 78, so we've got a mobile phone, but very basic kind of technology, you know, in understanding of technology. So we set her up with an iPad, which we put Zoom on. So we do kind of help her go in, but she's quite confident in terms of kind of knowing how to get into the calls and turning it off and speaking to and communicating really with technology, which, you know, for the older generation, it is quite difficult when they're trying to learn something new. But there's so many ladies out there that, you know, that are part of the HAWA group that have been able to kind of learn a new skill, be it technology, whilst going through these kind of uncertain times of COVID.
And Anita, what does it mean to you and to your family that your mother-in-law has this support?
It's been amazing support for her because, like I said, we don't have much friends and family in the St Albans area. So for her to be able to reach out and see and speak to kind of similar ladies in her situation from kind of the same ethnic origin and being able to learn as well. So it's been really good because obviously my husband and I are working. I've got two children who are at school. So it's quite difficult to kind of look at trying to help her kind of maintain that general what is normal life because everybody's going through kind of the same. So this has been kind of a real good method of her to be able to still kind of carry on and have her own kind of social contact with others.
Brilliant. Anita, thank you so much telling us about your experience of Hawa, and hope your mum gets to enjoy it for many, many years to come.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us. Now, I'd like to move on to Zia Kiani. Hi, Zia. Welcome to Radio Verulam.
Oh, hello, Lydia. How are you?
Great, great. And it's really a pleasure to have you on the radio today.
Thank you for having us.
Can you tell us, we've heard a little bit about the fantastic work that Hawa's doing. What's your role within Hawa? And tell us a little bit more about the work that you're doing at Hawa.
Okay. My role with Hawa is I'm the vice chair of Hawa. And what we've been doing in this COVID is that we've been working in partnership with St Albans District Food Bank. And we've been supporting over 100 people delivering food. We've been picking the food up and we've been delivering it to people every week. And also because COVID has hit the BAME community quite a lot. So we've been delivering that because due to unemployment and also, you know, lack of money, benefits and so on. So we've been delivering the food to them every week. We also do a healthy hub. We work in partnership with St Albans District Council. We used to do one session every Friday at St Albans District Council, but since the COVID-19, there's been a lot of demand and we've started doing it 5 days a week. We have 5 volunteers, myself, Rishna, Farid, Rebecca. We seem to be doing one day, I do twice a week, Rishna does once a week, Rebecca and Farid. We all do 3 hours a week. Well, we basically do 6, but we say 3 hours a week. And what we're doing is we're helping them with unemployment, housing inquiries, disabled badge. Then you've got form filling, online banking. Then you've got prescription pickup, collections, dropping them off. We've also done winter packs for the ladies where we've gone and delivered them packs. We've also got some gifts. We've got about 30 gift packs, which we're going to be delivering in the next couple of weeks. It's just nice, like somebody knocks on the door, delivers something, and the lady gives the ladies a chance to talk to them. And we've also, with the hub, we've actually like done outreach work as well. We go outside and, you know, we get the forms filled in and everything. I'm just trying to think. And Rishna will speak to you about the rest of the things that we've been doing.
Fantastic, Zia. It's such invaluable work that you're doing. And we've heard firsthand from Anita Salhan how important the work that you do is. Rushna, can you tell us a little bit more about the Healthy Hub?
Yes. So, Lydia, the Healthy Hub has been, as Zia has mentioned, that it's been very busy. You know, we've worked literally through the 5 days we've been working and doing a lot of outreach work. The other thing we've also been doing is we've been delivering for our Tiffin Club ladies, where they used to have a snack at the Tiffin Club. Unfortunately, obviously, that's no longer, it's closed at the moment. So we've been delivering fortnightly healthy snacks to the ladies. So it's something an incentive for them, some fruit and vegetables and some nuts, you know, or healthy snacks that they can have. And the ladies really, really appreciate that because some of them are struggling to go to the shops to do their shopping, you know. So this is a way of us saying thank you to them and reaching out to them to say that, hey, you're not alone. We're here to help you. We've also been doing befriending services. So I myself have been personally contacting the ladies who are on the register just to find out that they're all okay. I've also been doing some coaching, you know, for those that are finding themselves isolated or feeling a bit low. I've done some well-being coaching with them. So it's a one-to-one coaching, looking at their thoughts and feelings and how it's affecting them, and working to help them to make permanent changes to their lives by transforming, you know, their mindset. So that's the kind of work we've been doing. We've also been working with like statutory and non-statutory organisation. I mean, for example, we work with, in partnership with St Albans District Council, the Citizens Advice Bureau, Communities First. You know, we've also been working with Oxfam Hearts Hike, as I mentioned before, with their annual walks, and also Sir Optimist International and various, you know, other organisations as well. We've been doing some interfaith work as well with Lady Verulam and ladies from the St. Michael's Church. Now, unfortunately, because of the lockdown, we've been unable to meet. Otherwise, we usually meet sort of, you know, on a regular basis just to talk about the interfaith and, you know, just a catch up with the ladies so that we can take our ladies from our community and have lunch or, you know, a gathering with the ladies from St. Michael's Church and Lady Verulam. The other thing we've also been doing, we found that because the schools were closed and, you know, nearly a year now, and we found that some of the children from the BAME communities have been struggling. I know all children have been struggling, but more so those, you know, whose parents may not be able to give that support to them at home with the home learning. We work to help provide laptops for the children. Zia was working with Computer Friendly to try and facilitate that. And also there's a project called My Youth Project, which is run by Imad and some other tutors, and they provided free tutoring for those children who needed tutoring in maths and English and science. So it was through MYP, My Youth Project, that they were able to get some funding to facilitate that as well. Our funders, I'd like to say a big thank you to them as well. It's Hearts Community Foundation and St Albans District Council as well, and the locality budget. Some councillors have been helping us with the funding side of things as well.
Well, it's such a worthy cause, and Zia and you, Roshna, are doing spectacular work, and I really hope you can keep it up. So what can our listeners do to support you? So I'm sure funds would be helpful, volunteers would be helpful. How can they get in touch?
Of course, you know, any help is much appreciated, especially the funding side to sustain all of the projects that we are doing. And, you know, they can get in touch with us via our email address, which is howard@howardhearts.co.uk. Our website address is www.howardhearts.co.uk. And we're on Facebook and Instagram as well.
Fantastic. And Zia, any last words before we let you go?
No, just everybody keep supporting us, basically. And thank you for giving us the opportunity to let the listeners know for all the hard work that Howard's been doing.
Fantastic work, honestly. I mean, thank you, Zia. Thank you, Roshna, for joining us, for telling us the work that you're up to. And just come back and tell us how it's going. Well done for adapting to the difficult circumstances and even adding more to the list of activities you do for our community. So thank you.
Thank you
very much, Lydia. Thank you for having us. And yes, we will come back and update you, you know, in the foreseeable future. And thank you. I'd just like to say a big thanks to our team for their ongoing support and hard work.
Well done, everybody.
Thank you very much.
Thanks again, Zia and Roshna, for joining us on Radio Verulam 92.6 FM for this special edition show on our Muslim community in St. Albans. And in the next section, we're going to speak specifically about the vaccination rollout and how that's going in St. Albans. So we're going to speak to Dr. Andli Bahmed, to Imam Muhid, and again to Roshna Mia from Hawa. So let's start off with Dr. Andli Ahmed. Dr. Andli, you're very welcome to Radio Verulam today. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Thank you for having me, and hello to all the listeners. So my name is Dr. Andli Ahmed. I am a GP, mainly based in the Harrow and Hillingdon area. I have been in the NHS for 27 years and been a GP for a good, I would say, 17 years. I have been involved in the COVID vaccination sort of like groups and improving awareness in our community as well. And that's about it really regarding the COVID.
Great. And can you tell us about your involvement in the vaccination rollout and how it's going?
Well, with regard to the vaccination rollout, I haven't actually been administering the vaccines per se, but I've been helping with the coordination of the clinics in the Harrow area. So it's been going very, very well. However, there is a lot of reluctance amongst certain communities about having the vaccination. So our aim is, like this program is to try and, you know, answer any questions, any misinformation, and tackle those so that we can get as many people vaccinated as possible. because for us to return to any sort of normality, you know, we need to get as many people vaccinated as possible.
I completely agree. And I think we all are really keen to get back to some kind of normality as soon as possible, because it's been a very, very stressful 12 months. So what do you think the concerns are from your patients, or what you're hearing about receiving the vaccination?
So I think, you know, there has actually been a lot of studies and research done amongst vaccine hesitancy amongst the communities. And I think the results showed that the lowest uptake currently is actually sadly, in the Muslim community. And also, you know, looking at ethnicity, it's in the Black and Afro-Caribbean community. Why that is, you know, I could spend hours talking about it, but there is sadly a lot of misinformation out there. And it's about tackling these, you know, individual sort of myths that come my way. And there's so many of them. The main one, I think, is it's a lack of understanding per se, and a lot of mistrust around the vaccine. So, you know, it's important, you know, things like this are important to try and tackle them and address them.
Can you give us examples of the kind of myths or disinformation that you're hearing around the safety of the vaccine?
How long do you have?
5 minutes.
I think, you know, in particular in our Muslim community, there is a lot of, you know, misinformation regarding the permissibility of the vaccine, whether the vaccine is, you know, what we would call halal. And I know that the imam will be far more knowledgeable than I will be on this. But I, you know, the majority of scholars have issued a statement saying that the COVID vaccination, all of them, you know, are perfectly halal and permissible to have. There's a lot of information that the ingredients may contain fetal cells, which is incorrect. They do not contain fetal cells. There's a lot of misinformation about the vaccination containing chips and will be able to track you by the government. Again, that's completely incorrect. The vaccine may modify your DNA, which is just not possible, because the vaccine RNA doesn't actually enter the body, the cell's nucleus. Crikey, I don't know. There's so many that I've heard regarding the vaccine, COVID itself, regarding the side effects. That, you know, people are saying that COVID itself is a mild illness, whereas the vaccine is 3% are getting side effects, which is just incorrect. We have to remember that COVID has killed over 1 million people. So,
yeah, absolutely.
There you go.
Dr. Ahmed, that's so, I mean, going through them systematically and just debunking them like that is so helpful. And it's great for all St. Albans residents to hear, just not to buy into the misinformation that is circulating. And it's such a shame on such a crucial topic that there is so much disinformation. You know, we're lucky that the vaccine was pulled together so quickly and the rollout has been spectacular. The NHS have done a wonderful job. So we just have to...
I think that's one of the reasons there has been hesitancy, is because how quickly it was rolled out. Again, you know, people feel it was rushed through and corners were cut, but that's not true. The reason it was, you know, we got it so quickly is because all the red tape that normally is involved was just taken away, and money was poured into. I mean, the whole globe was working towards it, which is why it was developed so quickly. And there's no other reason behind it.
Wonderful. That's really, really excellent to know. So do you have, are there any legitimate safety concerns regarding the vaccination, the COVID-19 vaccination?
I'm speaking completely honestly here. You know, I know a lot of people think that doctors are paid to say this and we're making a huge profit out of this. It's not true. There has not been any major safety concerns regarding any of the vaccines. You know, we're constantly updated with information as a medic. And, you know, it's important for our viewers to remember that, you know, one of the oaths we take is do no harm. So, you know, I wouldn't be promoting or encouraging something for my patients that would harm them. And I think the majority of doctors, in fact, all doctors will say that. So no, there are no concerns regarding the safety of the vaccination. And in particular to our Muslim community in St Albans, the British Islamic Medical Association have done a wonderful, wonderful series of myth-busting, very simple little infographics, which I would highly recommend that people look at.
That's a great tip. And I hope all our listeners will go ahead and have a look at that. So, I mean, I hear concern in your voice, but it's concern about COVID-19 rather than the vaccination. So it's really, really great to get your expert advice on that, Dr. Ahmed. So now I think,
before anyone else, I've had the vaccination.
Excellent.
And I was fine.
lucky you. I'm in the next category. So I'd like to move on now to Imam Muhit. Thank you so much for joining us on Radio Verulam today. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Hi, thank you for having me. It's a real privilege and a pleasure to be here. So my name is Abdul Muhit. I am the head imam of a mosque, London Colney Islamic Center, situated in London Colney. And I'm also the deputy head of a school in Luton. And I think on the basis of our discussion today, we'll try and focus a little bit on what we're doing from London Colney Islamic Center to help kind of raise awareness of the importance of taking the vaccine.
Excellent. And thank you so much for taking the time to join us. So how have your community been reacting to the rollout of the COVID-19 vaccination?
To be honest, I think there are a lot of people who have stepped forward who we know of, because it's a small community. So everyone kind of knows everyone, and it's, we kind of have that freedom and that sort of relationship to openly ask and encourage people to take it and see if they have taken it. So I do feel that those who are eligible to take it, majority have definitely stepped forward and taken the vaccine. And I think that's largely down to not only keeping themselves safe, but I think, as was mentioned earlier, I think people just want to play their part to help the country move on from this period. Many have lost loved ones. Many have kind of struggled themselves with the virus. So I think even losing loved ones has been a means of encouragement to and a push to take the vaccine themselves.
Excellent. That's great news. But we've heard from Dr. Ahmed that there is some reluctance to get the vaccine from a small group. So why do you think this is happening?
I think it's a range of things. I think one of the things that we really need to clarify is I don't think people are kind of reluctant to take it from a faith perspective. I think the issue of whether it is permissible or impermissible in a Islamic and a religious context, I think we've kind of moved on from that. That was maybe in the initial stages. There are definitely people, even last week, I encountered a person who said the vaccine contains some elements of chimpanzees or whatnot. I don't know, the doctor can, I'm sure, clarify that. And I know she has already said a few points. But I think those sort of myths are still out there. And misconceptions are still out there, unfortunately, for whatever the reason. And I think it's kind of affecting the younger community who are then kind of relaying that fear to the elder community. So the elderly who are kind of eligible to take on the vaccine are perhaps being brainwashed by the younger generation. Unfortunately, when they're hearing these sort of things, it contains this, it contains that. But I think the biggest fear that with people that I've spoken to is more about the speed of production, which Dr. Andleeb highlighted as well about why that was the case. So I think that tends to be the biggest sort of concern for the people, that how can a vaccine be put out there so quickly? Are we trialing it, or are we actually having it where it's done properly? I think that tends to be the biggest fear, more so than the religious aspect of it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does indeed. And of course, it was quick, but Dr. Andleeb has explained excellently why that's the case. And I mean, we should really be just so delighted that the world did pull together on this and remove administrative barriers to getting the vaccine rolled out so quickly. So Imam Muhid, can I ask you if you've had your vaccine, and what would you say to any members of the St. Albans community who might be having second thoughts about getting it?
Yeah, I haven't had it yet because I'm still waiting for my turn. But as soon as I do get the notification, then I will go forward. My wife took it last week. So in terms of having it done, definitely. And I think in terms of those who are reluctant to get the vaccine, we have to not only think about ourselves, but we have to think about the bigger picture as well. By taking the vaccine, not only are we kind of being proactive for future such viruses, but we're also enabling people to come and visit us when the measures are kind of eased further. That kind of brings about some a protective shield to an extent, and others can then freely meet and greet us later on when measures are eased. So I think we have to look at the bigger picture. We have to kind of do this collectively to bring about ease in the future, definitely.
Great. And in particular, we have Ramadan coming up in just a few weeks. Can you speak to your congregation in particular about any fears around the vaccine? I mean, what advice would you give?
I think regardless of whether a person is fasting or not fasting, if the time comes where they are invited to take a vaccine, then definitely they should take it, because that was also a slight reservation on the part of some Muslims, where are we allowed to take the vaccine whilst fasting? And because it isn't like a food substitute or any source of nutrition as such, it's absolutely fine to take the vaccine whilst fasting. It wouldn't affect one's fast. The only thing that person would kind of need to be mindful of is if they need to take painkillers in those 24 hours, then perhaps it may be that they need to not fast the following day, perhaps depending on how they react to the vaccine and the side effects that they may face. But generally, the vaccine in and of itself is absolutely fine. And I think we all have to kind of take the initiative to help and encourage one another to take it. I think we ourselves, the London Colony Islamic Centre, we actually have a vaccine clinic running today, right now as we speak. So I've quickly ran upstairs to kind of take part in this discussion that we're having. And I think this is another example of where we're trying to make the community feel as comfortable as possible by facilitating it within the mosques, a place where they're naturally comfortable with coming to anyway. So we're hoping that kind of helps remove any additional fears they may have, where they're coming to a place where they're used to coming, seeing some familiar faces, having the vaccine and then going home. So hopefully that would also kind of help them and encourage them to come and take the vaccine.
What a fantastic initiative, and what a great role for your mosque to play for your community. Thank you so much, Imam Muhid. So I want to move on to our third guest now, Rushna Mia. Rushna, you're so welcome on Radio Verulam, back on Radio Verulam. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
Hi, Lydia. Thank you for inviting me back. So my name is Rushna Mia. I'm the chair of Hertfordshire Asian Women's Association, HAWA. I'm also a transformation and wellbeing life coach and a community activist. And as you know, I'm also a housing officer. I've been in the post for about 16 plus years. So I do a lot of community work within St. Albans district.
And can you tell us, Rushna, how has COVID-19 impacted on your members?
Well, COVID-19 has had a big impact on our members and our community. Our members, especially some of our ladies who sort of live alone, or they're Tiffin Club ladies, especially they're over 50, have been suffering from loneliness, isolation, mental health issues. So what we have been doing, HAWA has been supporting them with prescription collection, shopping, befriending service, keeping regular contact with the ladies to check in to see if they're okay. I've also been giving them some one-to-one coaching. And as a result, I've also set up a online literacy class and online exercise classes for them, which they used to do face-to-face at the Tiffin Club. And now they are sort of continuing that online, and that's going really well for them.
Fantastic. And what about the vaccine rollout in your amongst your membership? How's that going?
So the vaccine rollout for our members, especially the over 55s, it's been going really well. Most of them have had their first vaccination, and some of them have had their second one as well. And it's been, I don't think I've seen much resistance within this age category. So it's been going well.
That's great news. So you don't see an impact on your membership of any kind of disinformation or conspiracy theories that seem to be out there?
We've had one or two, but the majority have been very forthcoming and encouraging. You know, they've taken their vaccination. One or two have mentioned that, you know, they've heard about the conspiracy theories and the safety aspect, you know, whether there's any side effects and things like that.
Okay, well, that's good news that it hasn't kind of infiltrated your membership too much and had too much of an impact. So I'd like to ask each of you, what do you think should be done to make sure that the rollout really reaches every member of the Muslim community, not just in St. Albans, but across the UK? If we can start with Dr. Andlieb.
I think what will really benefit our community is exactly what Rushna and the Imam are doing, actually, is vaccinating and educating in places where people feel really comfortable. And I know that there is more moves towards vaccinating in mosques and community centres and community hubs where they feel safe and they can talk to people who will sort of understand where they're coming from. There is a, you know, slight reticence amongst, you know, coming to vaccination clinics. And I'm glad to hear that, you know, in St. Albans, you know, it looks like you're doing an amazing job. Maybe I'll borrow you both and come down to Harrow. But yeah, I think that's what it is. I think it's about having that familiarity and have that, you know, that safe space where they feel that they can have their concerns addressed.
Excellent. Thank you. And Imam, what would you suggest to increase the uptake to the maximum?
I think definitely directing people who have misconceptions to the experts and the professionals. And I think that's what we've been encouraging a lot. To speak to your GP if you have any issues. Don't like speak to the GP online, so to speak, with these search engines and social media. But speak to those who you would normally speak to if you have any health concerns and issues. I think that's what a lot of people are forgetting now. And inevitably, you know, put it on their doorstep, where, you know, we are accommodating and facilitating it in areas where they feel comfortable. And I think even going one step further, because to kind of quell the fears that they have of doing it in Ramadan while they're fasting, we are definitely looking to even offer a vaccination clinic during Ramadan, during the fasting hours, just to kind of emphasize that it's okay. And hopefully, God willing, that will encourage people to come forward and take it.
Fantastic. What a great initiative. And finally, last word to you, Rushna.
Lydia, so what I have been doing, last week I took my vaccination and I made a video at the vaccination centre in English and in Bengali. And I sent that out to encourage the community and our ladies, you know, to take the vaccine. Where I've seen the resistance is amongst the youngsters, 20 to 30 year age category. I've spoken to a few of them, and the resistance I've got is again what Dr. Andalib has mentioned, and Imam Muhit, about the lack of trust, the conspiracy theories, that the vaccination has been rolled out too quickly, so it's not, you know, how efficient it's going to be and the side effects. So that's where the concern, I think, when it comes to those categories, will be there may be some resistance there. I know other counsellors and doctors, you know, from the Bayan background have made videos in various other languages as well, Urdu, Pashto, and, you know, other languages to encourage the community to come forward and take the vaccine. And, you know, as we've all mentioned, it is very, very important for our community to come forward and get vaccinated so that we can hopefully get rid of this pandemic and move forward and, you know, start to mingle with our loved ones again.
Exactly. And enjoy a little bit of normality. So thank you all for joining us on Radio Verulam today and for your service to our community. Thanks for the great work. Please, please do keep it up.
Thank you very much for having us, Lydia. Thank you.
Thank you.